The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simin Hey, Sif Yud. We're in the middle of discussing the laws pertaining to the cleanliness of the place in which one would like to recite words of holiness, Davar Shebikdusha, words of prayer, words of Torah. And in Sif Yud, the Kitzur discusses the halacha, the law pertaining to one who already said words of holiness and afterwards found that the area was unclean. Says the Kitzur, Misha es pala, one who prayed, umatza acharkach sheyesh sham tzoya, and he finds afterwards, after he's finished praying, he finds that there was excrement in the area. Im hamakim hahu, hayarayles tapik by. If that area was fitting, it was appropriate that he should have had a reasonable doubt, maybe there was tzoya there. There was an area where there's a likelihood for there to be tzaya, a place which is not commonly kept completely clean. Shema Yeh was going to be a doubt, to have a reasonable doubt about this area. Shema Yeh Shem Tzaya, maybe there is excrement over there. Vehu Pasha V'lo Badak, and he was negligent and did not check. As we mentioned earlier, there's an obligation to check the area in a case of a reasonable doubt, to make sure that there is no excrement, there is nothing unclean in the area before one starts to pray or starts to learn. If this person did not do so, he is considered to be negligent. Therefore, kevan de tefila shmeina esrei, he b'makom karban, since the prayer of shmeina esrei, the Amida prayer, that we say three times a day, that is in place of a carbon, in place of a sacrifice. Now that we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, and we are unable to offer sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, so we have the tefillah, we have the prayer of Shemoneh Esrei to compensate, to take the place of a carbon. And there, as such, Havalei Zevach V'Shoem Te'eva, we can apply the verse, the sacrifice of a Rasha, of an evil person, is an abomination. And in this context, this person did an act of rishus. He did an evil act, meaning he prayed without properly checking to make sure that the area was unclean, was clean. And therefore, we will say that his zevach, his sacrifice, is not acceptable to Hashem. V'tzarech machzor l'ispalo shmeina esrei, and he is obligated to repeat, to go over again, and to pray the prayer of Shemoneh Esrei, the Amida prayer, because it was not acceptable since he neglected to check in advance. If, however, it was an area that you were not obligated to check, it was an area that, generally speaking, is considered clean, and you had no reason to believe that there was excrement there. So in that case, there's nothing wrong. He prayed, he did what he was supposed to. If afterwards he finds that there was tzaya there, there's no problem whatsoever. It's not necessarily the act of praying in an unclean place that is the problem. It's the act of praying in a place without proper regard for the cleanliness of the area. If one should have been careful and was not, one is deemed a rasha in this regard. If one had no reason to be careful, one had no reason to be cautious, then he did nothing wrong, and he does not have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. V'chein Kriya Shema, so too, Shema, the three sections of Shema, Shehimi Deraisa, which is an obligation from the Torah for a person to recite twice a day, once in the daytime, in the morning, and once in the evening, once at night. Ve'ein ba yichshash bracha l'vatolan, there is no possibility, there is no problem of saying a blessing for naught, saying an unnecessary blessing. Therefore, chayzer v'kayre, he repeats, he goes over again and he says Shema, Avonloi b'habrachas, but not with the blessings preceding Shema and which follow Shema. In the morning we say the bracha of Yetzer HaMa'ariz, the bracha of Ava Rabba, the bracha of Emes V'Yatziv, of, in the evening we say other brachas before and after Shema. These are called the brachas of Kriya Shema. And one should not repeat those brachas even though he was negligent and did not check in advance. The reason is because there is a disagreement in the earlier Paiskim, the earlier commentators on the Gemara. One who said other Devarim Shebekdusha besides Shemini Esrei. Shemini Esrei, we already said, is considered a sacrifice. Zerach Hashem Ta'eva, it's an abomination and it does not count. However, other blessings, there is a disagreement. Must one repeat them if he said them without properly checking the area to make sure it was clean? And the general rule is, Suffolk brachot v'halakha, if there is a doubt on whether one is obligated to say a blessing, we are lenient. We prefer not to say the blessing because we do not want to run the risk of the severe sin of a brachot v'atala, of a blessing which is for naught. And therefore, one should not say the blessings. Kriya Shema itself is just reciting psukim of the Torah, just reciting verses in the Torah, so one should repeat that, but the brachos should not be repeated. This point, however, is this, the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. He says once you are repeating Kriya Shema is almost like a package with the brachos Kriya Shema, with the brachos, the blessings that surround it. And if one has to repeat Kriya Shema, one has to, which is a mitzvah midaraisa. It's a Torah obligation, and therefore the rule is Safek Dairaisa L'chumra. A doubt regarding a Torah obligation, one has to be strict, and one has to repeat Shema. Therefore, one would also have to repeat the brachas of Kriya Shema. The Chen Shah brachas, Sha'am Hashem, so too the other any other brachas that he said in that area. Fafil Birchas HaMazon, even the bracha of benching, which is also a Torah obligation, he does not repeat and say it and repeat that blessing. Again, due to the fact that there is a doubt whether he's obligated to do so, we like it's preferable to stay away from the possibility of reciting a bracha of atala, and one should not repeat the bracha. But if this area, there's no reason to believe, to be in doubt, maybe there was excrement there. And then he was not negligent. Afilo b'tfila, even for the Shemoneh Esrei, Yetzer b'dieved, he is Yetzer, he fulfilled his obligation ex post facto, now that he has prayed, even though he finds that the area was unclean, he does not pray over again. V'imnintu u'mei raglayim, if a pool of urine is found, afilo hamakim ro'im l'istapik, even though the area was a place that he should have been careful, she should have checked, it was a reasonable doubt, maybe there was unclean, maybe there was merag mayim. Still, Yaitzeh b'di'evet, gam b'tfila, he has fulfilled his obligation ex post facto, even for Shemoneh Esrei. The reason being that a standing pool of urine is only a rabbinic prohibition for one to say words of Kedusha. And therefore, for a rabbinic because he only transgressed a rabbinic obligation, and in this case, he didn't even know for sure that he was transgressing it. He was negligent regarding rabbinic obligations, so he does not have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. There is, however, a machlokes, there is a disagreement among the Paiskim, if he knew that there was meraglayim there, and still he prayed, still he said Shemoneh Esrei, that already is a machlokes, it's a disagreement, does he have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei since he knowingly transgressed a rabbinic prohibition, or even in that case, since the prohibition is only rabbinic in nature, he does not have to repeat it. Sif Yud Aleph. Yatsa mimenu reach milamata. A foul odor came out from a person down below, meaning he passed gas. Also, v'davar shebekdusha, he is forbidden to recite any matter of holiness. He cannot pray, he cannot learn. Achiyich l'hareach, until the odor dissipates. V'miyatsa mechaveroi. And if this odor emanated from his friend passed gas, somebody else in the vicinity, so you also have to wait until the odor dissipates before you continue to pray. However, if he is involved in the study of Torah, he does not have to wait, he does not have to break from his studies because of an odor that emanated from his friend. And the Talmud tells us that because of the bittul Torah, because of the waste of time that would be involved, if in a communal setting, every time somebody passed gas, everyone around him would have to stop learning. So they said that since this is not, this prohibition to continue to learn was only rabbinic in nature, they waived the prohibition for the sake of the study of Torah, but for prayer, which is not as, doesn't happen as often, they obligated you to wait until the odor dissipates. Alternatively, one could walk away until he no longer smells the odor and continue to say Kriya Shema, to say his blessings, or whatever other words of Kedusha he is saying. Sif Yud Beis. Beis HaKisei, a bathroom. And the type of bathroom we're discussing here is somewhat similar, like an outhouse. Even though there are walls surrounding this bathroom, and right now there is no excrement in the bathroom, one is obligated to distance himself from this bathroom before praying or before uttering any davar shebikdusha. This is because even the walls have the legal status of tzai of excrement because they're designated specifically for the bathroom, specifically for the outhouse, so they themselves acquire the legal status of tzai of excrement from which one has to distance oneself before reciting words of Kedusha. Lachain, therefore, saf so ha'asayim nekev, if one has a bench or a seat which is made with a hole, shema'amid in the middle, Shema'amid in tacht of graft that they place underneath it, or a receptacle, like a chamber pot, mefanes above, to relieve oneself on it. It's basically like a modern-day toilet seat. It's freestanding, and they put a chamber pot underneath it, and one sits on it to relieve himself. Afal pisha haitziu is ha'graft, even though they removed the chamber pot, the receptacle from underneath. Rekiso is ha'nekev v'daf, and they covered over the hole with a board. Mikol makam still yish l'safsel zeh din beis hakisei. This chair, this seat, has the legal status of a beis hakisei, of a bathroom. It's utzrichim l'hitziyah min habayis, and one has to remove it from the room, from the house, literally, but means from the room, or l'chasaisai kuler, to cover it in its entirety, meaning put a bag over it or some large vessel over it to completely cover it. Not just the top should be covered, but the entirety of it should be covered before one utters words of Kedusha. Ach, however, im ukisei hamiyuchon liyeshiva, if this is a chair which is designated for sitting, o mechuse bekaren leyeshiva, and is covered with a pillow, some type of cushion, to sit upon it, v'rak le'esat tzarech, just that at a time of necessity, when one needs to, mesirin esakai, they remove the pillow, the cushion, v'nifnin shan, and then shan, and they relieve themselves there. They put a chamber pot there, and they relieve themselves there. V'shuv machzirin olav hazakar, and they then replace the cushion on top of this chair. Bozei yesh lo hakel. In this case, we can be lenient. We can consider the chair to be a chair that's sometimes used in the context of a bathroom, but not that we treat it as if it is a bathroom itself, and one does not have to cover the entire chair as long as the chamber pot is not in the room anymore, and the chair itself is not a problem. Now, a modern-day bathroom, where it's pretty clean, the excrement is always washed away, the lime is always washed away, it's questionable whether or not it has the legal status of a beis hakisei that's being discussed over here. And therefore, it is debatable whether one has to actually distance oneself from it. Certainly, in a house where the walls of this beis hakisei, the walls of the bathroom are not unique, they're not just walls of the base of the bathroom, rather they're the walls of the house also. They service the hall as well as they service the bathroom. They service the room, other room in the house besides servicing the bathroom. So that's, in that case, certainly one does not have to distance oneself from it. One can even say a blessing facing the wall, assuming the door is closed and is not looking actually at the toilet itself, if the door is closed and one cannot see the inside of the bathroom, certainly one could say a blessing facing the bathroom because the walls are not just, are not designated specifically and only for the bathroom, as opposed to a case where one has some type of freestanding bathroom, such as often the case by construction sites and the like. There's a freestanding bathroom, and there the walls of the bathroom are just for the bathroom, and there we'd have more of a question, and more similar to the halacha being mentioned over here, that one may have to distance oneself the appropriate amount. It should not be within his line of sight. It should be four cubits away from the end of the, where you can no longer smell the odor before one says words of Kedusha. Yet even in that case, there is a question if in case of necessity one should consult his personal rav. Sif Yud Gimel, Graf Shel Re'iv, Avit Shel Meraglayim, the chamber pot, the receptacle in which it is found, it's designated for excrement or for urine. Imhem Shel Cheres, if they are made out of pottery, Shel Eitz, or wood, both of which are porous materials and they absorb, Dinam Ki Beis HaKiseh, this chamber pot is considered like a bath, like the Beis HaKiseh itself, like the bathroom itself. And even though they may be clean, they do not have a foul odor. And even if you right now put water in them, will you turn them over on their mouth so that their opening is not visible? Still, it does not help. And even if one put them under his bed, it does not help either. Because our beds do not have the proper, do not have walls around them. They do not serve as a barrier between the chamber pot and the rest of the room. Ella, rather, tzorich leitziyon min habayis, you have to remove them from the house, and lechasayisim, to cover them, I mean, you remove them from the room, or cover them before one says the words of Kedusha, because they themselves are treated like the tzaya itself, like excrement itself, and therefore one may not say Dvarim Shel Kedusha in their presence. V'im heim shel matzos, if, however, this chamber pot is made out of metal, or zechuchis, or glass, both of which are not really porous, and they will not absorb the waste matter which is inside of them, im heim rechutzim yaseh, if they are right now washed very well, v'im v'hem reach ra, there is no foul odor emanating from them, ein srich im ha'achlik mehem, one does not have to distance oneself from them. Rather, they can seem like any other utensil, any other clean utensil, and one is able to say brachas, one is able to say Dvarim Shel Kedusha, holy matters, even in their presence. Porcelain, which is very smooth, similar to glass and to metal, is also, certainly if it's covered on all sides, it's glazed on all sides, as is our modern-day toilet, it's 100% porcelain. So while that is cheres, it is pottery, but it is glazed. That has the status of metal and glass, and therefore it's questionable whether our modern-day toilets are considered a graf shel re'iv for this law. There is a discussion in the modern-day Paiskim how to treat our modern-day toilets. Pichazir, the mouth of a pig, since it's his normal habit to root around with his nose, with his nostrils, in excrement and garbage, then his nose, his mouth, has this legal status of a chamber pot. Even if right now the pig is coming out of the river and it seems to be all clean, it's washed, washing does not accomplish anything, one still must distance oneself from his mouth. Sif Yadalat. Pedes HaMerchatz, in a bathhouse, a place where one bathes or showers, Gan Kenosu L'daber L'harher V'shum Dabar Shebikdusha, also forbidden to either speak or think any holy matters. V'osu L'hazgir Shema Yisam Yuchadim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's also forbidden to mention any of the names which are designated for the Holy One, blessed be He, for Hashem. Even if it's not in Hebrew, it's in some non some other language, non-Hebrew, Kigan Got, the Lashon Ashkenaz, in the word Got in Yiddish or German, or Buga, the Russian Poland, Russia, or some other, the Polish or Russian word for God, or the word in English. Still, one is forbidden to mention those words, the Beis HaMerchatz, in a bathhouse, or in a unclean street where there is filth and excrement out in the street. So one that street has the status of a Beis HaMerchatz or a Beis HaKisei, and one is not allowed to either think Dvar Shebekdusha or utter any of the names of Hashem in that place. V'chein asur liten sham shalom l'chaver, a person may not offer his friend a greeting of shalom. Ki shalom hu shmai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because shalom, which means peace, is also one of the names of Hashem. It's a name used to describe Hashem. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayikra Lai, and he called to him that Gidon was being discussed in one of the Shaftim is being discussed in the Pasuk. He called to him Hashem Shalom. He said Hashem Shalom, which means that Hashem and Shalom both being the names of the Almighty. And therefore one is not allowed to offer a greeting to his friend, because the greeting in essence says that Hashem should be with you, Shalom, peace, which is a reference to the Almighty, should be with you. The Adam Sheshmai Shalom, a person whose proper name is Shalom. Yish Oisim LeKreise Sham Bishmai, there are those who forbid a person to call him by his name in a bathhouse. You may not call your friend Shalom in the bathhouse. Yish Matir, there are those who permit it, Kevin She'ina Mechavin Alinin HaShalom, because the intent of the speaker is not for the concept of peace. Elam HaZkar HaShmai Shalom Oisim Adam, only to mention the name of that person. The custom is to be lenient about this matter. And so on, a special fear of heaven. It's proper for him to be strict in this matter. And the place can bring down, they mention that one could swallow the last consonant, so not to say the whole word, or he could transpose the mem at the end for a nun and say shalom instead of shalom. They sound very similar. In that way, one could fulfill this stringency. Our modern-day bathrooms with shower, again, are a question whether they have the legal status of a merchatz, even if there is no toilet in them. It's just a room specifically with a shower, being that it's pretty clean. Usually it's not always so steamy and not so dirty. So that is, again, a question among the modern-day poskim. In a case of a case of necessity, one should consult his personal rav. Sif tesvav. Also, ledabre divrei Torah kedusha neged erva. We now move on to the other topic mentioned in the beginning of the siman, the halacha, the law that one may not say words of Torah or words of holiness opposite an erva. An erva generally means literally nakedness. Generally refers to the private parts, the reproductive organs of a male and a man and a woman. And we'll see later that there are other areas which are also included in the legal definition of erva for the purposes of saying a davar shebekdusha, as we'll see coming up soon. So once again, also in ledabre divrei Torah kedusha, is forbidden to speak words of Torah or words of holiness, brachos, prayers, neged erva, while facing an erva, bein shalai, whether it's one's personal erva, a person himself is undressed, bein shalache, whether it's someone else's erva, v'afilu mikata miktana, even the erva of a young child, a young boy or a young girl, also one is forbidden to say words of kedusha while facing their erva. However, the Mishneh Berurah disagrees on this point partially, and he says that a boy under the age of 9 and a girl under the age of 3, this obligation does not exist. And it is permitted for one to recite a bracha or to learn Torah while facing the erva of a boy under 9 and a girl under 3. Rak says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, however, Mitzvah mitzvahs mila, for the purpose of the mitzvah circumcision, mutter levarich neged erva satinek, one is allowed to say the circumcision blessing even while facing the erva of the child. because that in that context, the erva is the item of mitzvah, and it's not considered a problem to make the blessing while facing that the area of the circumcision. Now, even if a person closes his eyes, not to see the erva, it does not help. Since the erva is in his line of sight, it's opposite him, even though his eyes happen to be closed, he may not recite the Dvarim Shebekdusha. And rather, he has to pun of the gufa, and he has to turn his face and his body from opposite it. It's not sufficient to just turn one's head. One must turn his whole body around so that the erva is not within his line of sight. Tesazayin. Sif Tesazayin. Good for Isha. The body of a woman. We're now going to mention a few other places which have the legal status of an erva, even though they are not the actual private, they are not the actual reproductive organs. So the body of a woman, kol makim shedarken leiskasos, any place which is normally covered due to reasons of modesty, im niskal leshom shir tefach, if an area the size of a tefach, a cubit, the size of a hand's breadth, which is approximately 3 or 4 inches, becomes revealed, that is considered an erva, such as the area above the elbows, area above the knees on a woman. Those areas are certainly considered a area which is normal to be covered, and the tefach of those areas, if it is exposed, as the legal status of an erva, one may not say a davar shebekdusha while facing it. The area underneath the knee, one could consult a rav regarding that. The chen sairis shalisha, so to the hair on a woman, shalisha nesua, excuse me, the hair of a married Jewish woman, asher darkon with chasaisan, that because it is the normal way to cover them, meaning the halacha mandates that the hair be covered, and therefore it's considered a part of the body which is normally supposed to be covered. In this gamut, ask me if some of the hair has become revealed, chashuv k'me'erva, that is considered as the legal status of an erva itself, legabing ish, regarding a man. For a man to say a bracha, or to say words of kedusha while facing any of these parts of a woman's body, is forbidden. Ve'en chiluk, and there's no difference, bein shehi ishtai, whether it's one's wife, Aisha Acheres, or another woman, in all cases, he may not say Davar Shebekdusha while facing these areas. Ahlagadi Isha, but for another woman, Laicha Shivi K'may Erva, all these other parts of the body, besides for the literal Erva itself, the reproductive organ itself, otherwise, these other parts of the body are not considered an Erva for an Isha, so one woman could face covered parts of another woman and say a Bracha or say Davar Shebekdusha. With regard to hair, even though we mentioned before that one is really obligated to turn his body away so that the erva is not within his line of sight, Mr. Burup says that in the case of pressing need, one could rely on just closing one's eyes as in regard to the erva of hair, if there is uncovered hair of a Jewish married woman, if one is stuck and one is incapable of turning around, one could rely on closing the eyes in order to say a davar shebekdusha. Kol zemer meisha, the singing voice of a woman, chashuv gamkin k'me'erva, that is also considered an erva, and one may not say a davar shebekdusha while hearing the singing of a woman. When we call makam, still b'shasa v'chak, in the case of pressing knees, shushemeh anashim mezamrit, that he hears women singing, v'efshir v'alimchais, and it's impossible for him to protest. He cannot stop them from singing. He should not prevent himself. He should not become nullified, waste his time, not be able to say the mitzvah, fill the mitzvah, the obligation of saying Kriyishma or praying or studying Torah. Rather, he should strengthen himself with having kol levavo, to focus his entire attention, all of his heart, and like kedusha, to the holy matter which he is involved in. He should not put his heart or his mind to the singing that he is hearing. One more little point: even in this siman we're discussing the halachos of saying a davar shebekdusha facing various parts of a woman's body, this has nothing to do with the issue of tznius, whether it's appropriate for a man to look at different parts of a woman's body. The rules for that are different, and that is not what's being discussed over here. Even an area which is not considered a makom mechusa, a man is not allowed to stare at if it's not his own wife, just for the pleasure of seeing a woman's body. Sif Yud Zayin, in Levi Rayas Erva Shalai, if a person's heart sees his own erva, that means there is no barrier, there is no break between his heart and his own erva. Afa Pisha Erva Hi Mechusa, even though the erva is covered, Kegain Shehu Mavish Bechal, for example, he's wearing some type of robe without a belt. So the erva is covered, but there's no break between his heart and his erva. Gam kein asur loin leimai kol davar shebekdusha, is also forbidden for him to say any holy matter. Now, tzarech liyos lavash mechnasayim, he has to be wearing pants shehem medubakim agufay, that are snug to his body. Vayishyez rabeezer, he could wear a belt around his robe. Vayaniach zoy oisad alachalak, where he could hug himself, he could place his hands over the robe, he could hug himself with his hands. He can hang his hands around his midsection so that there will be a break between his heart and his erva. And then he could say words of Kedusha. A woman does not need this because a woman's erva is not visible from her heart. It is faces the ground and therefore is not visible from the heart. And as long as her erva is not exposed, she is able to say, Adavar Shebekdusha.